Take your Bible tonight and turn over with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Please do remember Sister Maxine. I didn't realize. I thought she was having trouble with her back. I've been missing her some, but she's got that pneumonia fever. Please do remember in prayer. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, maybe drop her a card or give her a call. I'm sure that would be a blessing to her. And same thing with Brother Arnold. Like Brother Gary said a while ago, the devil would like nothing more than to convince somebody. Sister Mary Sanders, same way. Convince somebody that, well, you're over there and they don't nobody give a rip. That's what he'd like to make them believe. And we know better. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12. A little phrase here I want to look at tonight and try to stay right in the text. But let's just start reading in verse number 1. Hebrews 12 is a wonderful passage. The Bible said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him." Now that's my text tonight, two words, consider him. "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently unto the lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." If correctly read, that's the first 17 verses in chapter 12. Let's pray just a moment, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, it's already been a blessing to be in the house of God, to be with your people. Lord, to gather around an old-fashioned altar of prayer and talk to a God that we know is listening, a God that we know that knows what we need even before we ask, a God that cares like no other, a God that loves us like no other. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd clothe us in our calling, help us to be a blessing to these dear people. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. The Bible said, consider him. I want to give you three things tonight that the Lord spoke to my heart about in the text. And the first thing tonight, it would be consider His children. When we consider Him, consider His children. The Word of God said here, if you go back to chapter number 11, the Bible said, and these all, in verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then it come into verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that you and I, as God's people, if we just studied Hebrews chapter number 11 and begin to think about some of the things that some of these people suffered, the Word of God said, consider Him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. I want to tell you something tonight. We'll faint in our mind a long time before we faint in our body. Amen. We'll give up. We'll get weak. We'll get tired. And the Bible said to consider Him. And in so doing, I believe we need to consider His children. When you think about men in the Word of God like Abel, when you think about men like Enoch, when you think about men like Noah, when you think about men like Abraham, I mean, think about preaching for 120 years and the only ones that get on the boat is your wife and your three boys and their wives. Amen. Somebody say, well, that's awful. He was a failure. Oh, no. You can't do what God's told you to do in this world and be a failure. Amen. He was living by faith. That's what the Word of God said. He was walking by faith. And beloved, it's important that we understand tonight that when we're going through things, we ought to consider His children. God has already, these are written for our admonition. They're written for our learning. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it wouldn't hurt us to go back and read the book of Job. It wouldn't hurt us to go back and understand, beloved, listen, that it's good in the trials of life to be able to say the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Going to bless Him regardless of the valley. Thank God He's the God of the valley. Amen. Thank God there's some fertile soil in the valleys of life. Thank God it's a good place to grow. Consider His children. I believe that's important, don't you? You think about Abraham, you think about Sarah, you come over there and you think about Joseph, you think about Isaac. I'm telling you, I'm just saying this tonight. God put these men in the Bible for a reason. God put these ladies in the Bible for a reason. We're to go back and study their life. We're to glean from their lives. And we're to understand that they made it. And thank God Almighty we can make it too tonight. Amen. Because the same God that was their God is our God tonight. Amen. And He'll help us in every situation of life. I think sometimes, you know, not so much in recent years, but I tell you early on in the ministry, my wife will tell you, we didn't have a lot. The first house we lived in, when the wind blew, the curtains blew. We burned 12 cord of wood in a stove in one winter. 12 cord. You could get warm one side at a time. Whichever side was facing the stove, that was the side that was getting warm. The other side was cold. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. My wife and I wrapped up on the couch one day watching TV, and a little mouse ran out under the stove and just hunkered like that. She said, are you going to get it? I said, no, are you? She said, no, I feel sorry for it. Amen. The next year, I taped plastic over the inside. The year after that, I taped plastic over the inside and the outside. I'm telling you, beloved, I think about people that don't have much. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life when I didn't have much. But thank God Almighty, you can look right here in this Bible. You can look at a widow, amen, that was down to the last meal. But God came through, amen. But God helped her along the way. You think about Joseph, and you think about Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You think about, listen,
Sometimes we faint not because of what's going on in our life. Listen to me. We faint because of what's going on in somebody else's life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many's ever carried a burden for somebody? You've prayed for them and it looks like you're absolutely getting nowhere. Nothing's happening in their life. Well, I'm going to tell you, God put Rahab in there. You know why? God said, I saved that harlot and I can save your loved one. I saved that woman that was living in sin and I can save anybody's living in sin if they'll just believe, if they'll just trust me. Rahab had sense enough to know when them spies come down there, she said, we've heard about your God. Amen. And she had sense enough to know that God, the same God that was taking care of them, could take care of her. That's a blessing tonight. I need to get on in the message tonight. But I just want us to consider, first of all, his children. Look at verse 32 in chapter 11, and I'll try to go on. The Bible said here, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Sounds to me like we got it made. Say amen. These people didn't faint. These people went on in faith. And you and I, beloved, can do the same. The Bible said here, we ought to consider his children. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds, imprisonment. They're stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom, I love this statement in the Bible, of whom the world was not worthy. I've had the privilege down through the ministry to see God take some people out of this world. I can remember a couple of different men that were absolutely blooming in their Christian life, and God took them home, and I just wonder if God didn't look down and say, the world's not even worthy of their presence anymore. Come on home. The Bible said here, the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, caves. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. I say praise God tonight. Instead of fainting, well, just consider his children. Consider him. Consider those. Brother Ralph, it's already been down the road. Amen. And your brother was here Sunday. What a blessing it was to get to meet him and be together in a service with him. And you fellows are older than I am. You've seen some hard times in this world. And you've seen God come through time and time and time again. Not only these in the Bible. I think about my grandfather. And I consider his people. I think about my grandfather, for years, God called him to preach. Brother, he couldn't even read when God called him to preach. You made a statement a while ago, and I'm the same way. You didn't have a formal education, so to speak, in the Bible. But my grandfather couldn't even read. Up until that point, he had been saved. You say, well, how did he get any Bible in him? Granny could read. And he sat down at the kitchen table every day, and Granny read the Bible to him. One day he was out in a corn crib. He was struggling. God was trying to get him to preach, and he was struggling with it. And he said, God, I can't read. He said, God, if I'm going to preach, you're going to have to help me to read. I sat there as a teenager, listened to my grandfather read the Bible. I listened to him when he come across the word. I thought he was talking about Noah, and he was, but he didn't say Noah. He said Noe. And I sat there as a teenager in my pride, in my rebellion, and I thought that man don't even know how to say Noah's name. One day I was saved reading the Bible for myself, and I figured out who the dummy was in that service. Amen. It wasn't a fella in the pulpit, it was a fella in the pew. It was spelled N-O-E, and he had it right on the money. Grandpa said he'd come back and begin to read the Bible. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe there's a God in heaven. You don't believe all things are possible with God. Amen. He did. I can remember my grandfather talking about wading the river. He'd go to the river preaching revival, pull his preacher's legs up, take his socks off, take his dress shoes off, and carry him across the river. Get on the other side, take his handkerchief and dry his feet off, put his socks back on, put his shoes back on, and walk for miles and miles and miles to preach this precious old book. When I say consider his people, I mean, he's got some of them in your life. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, not only do we look in the Bible, we can look back in our own life and see somebody. It's already blazed this trail. Preacher Jack was mentioned tonight. I say hallelujah. Somebody's already been down the trail. We don't need to faint. We just need to consider him. Consider his children. My grandfather said he did that for years. My grandfather said, he said, Lord, I don't mind to do it, but how long? I believe that phrase is in the Bible. How long? How long do you want me to do this? Grandpa said one Saturday morning, there were two businessmen pulled up in the driveway. I think he said it was a Model A. Now, it might have been a Model T. I may have got it wrong. But he said they pulled up in that old car, went up on the porch, knocked on the screen door. Grandpa went out and they said, John, we don't know why we're doing this. But there's the car. Here's the keys. The tags is on it. And it's yours. Grandpa looked up towards heaven and said, I know why you're doing it. I say hallelujah. I don't just have, thank God I got a Bible to look into, but I can look back in my heritage. See where God fed six youngins. Daddy worked two jobs. When I was in high school, I had two outfits of clothes. One of them was in the washer and the other one was on my back. You say, preacher, you proud of that? Yes, I am. John Dockery, I was raised in a barn. Honest to God, it was a barn that was made into a house. I wish I could take it and show it to you. Had the troughs around the kitchen where they used to feed animals. The bathroom was, the tub was one of them, is on them legs. People give anything to have one today. It fell in one day. Bathroom floor collapsed. It fell in. The tub fell in. My daddy worked and he scrapped and he fixed and he cleared brush. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? God took care of us. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to, I got the Bible to look back into, but I can look back in the rearview mirror and say God's been good to this whole boy. And consider his children. Consider his children. The next thing I want you to see in the message tonight, could preach here about an hour. We need to consider his cross. The Bible said here in verse number 3, consider him which endured such contradiction. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I dare you. I dare you to take anything in this world that you have to face and get it to the cross. I'll guarantee you what you'll do. You'll go on another mile. You won't faint. You'll want to just go on for God, amen, when you take what the worst thing we can experience and just get it to Calvary. Just take it to the cross and see what he has done for you, for me. The Bible said we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Consider his children. The Bible said here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Listen, I'm not going to split hairs with you tonight, but if you've got something that Jesus started, then you've got something Jesus is going to finish. If you started it, it might not get finished, but if he started it, praise God, Brother Cole, he's going to finish it. That's why Paul said, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, I don't know why so many people's quitting. Maybe because they started. If God starts something in you, the Word of God said, He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. I like that, don't you? He's going to get the job done. The Bible said here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. For many years, all I could think about when that is, it's what I'd heard, it's what I preached, it's what I believed, and I still do. But I've got a little different idea too that goes along with it. I believe that when God looked down through the ages, can you believe that He knew when you would get saved and when I would get saved? The night I got saved, I've told many people, it took a lot of people by surprise. It didn't take the Holy Ghost by surprise. It didn't take God the Father by surprise. And it didn't take Jesus by surprise. It did not. I was acting on all the light that I had, and praise God, God sent more light. Showed me that I was lost and undone without God or His Son. I've always thought when I read that, that the joy that was set before Him, the Bible talks about there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I thought about the joy, that must be it, and I believe it is. But I believe there's something else that Jesus was looking forward to. And that was going back and sitting down in that place where He had stood up from, at the right hand of God the Father. The joy that was set before Him. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, the Bible teaches, beloved, that God the Father had to turn His back, put the lights out. When Christ hung on the cross, I believe that's what Jesus dreaded more than anything in this world. He dreaded being separated. You understand, He had never been separated from His Father. Oh, you say, preacher, the Father was in heaven. Jesus was on earth. I say, He still wasn't separated from Him. I do always those things which please the Father. That day when He bore your sin and my sin on the cross, the Father had to look away. It got dark. And I believe the joy that was set before Him, He was looking forward to getting home, looking forward to getting back to the throne, looking forward to sitting at the right hand of His Father, the place where He had stood up one day and came down to earth so that you and I could go where He is in heaven. What a blessing tonight. We need to consider His children. We need to consider His cross. And I'll tell you something else that will keep us from fainting in this world. Keep us from giving up. Listen to me carefully. We need to consider His chastisement. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? Well, probably because the Word of God does. It's not an accident that it's where it is in the Bible. God don't want us to give up. God don't want us to faint. David said, I believe it's in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Y'all remember that? Well, let me ask you something. When's the last time you saw the goodness of the Lord in chastisement? I mean, I'm going to tell you what. God is not exhibiting something bad when He chastens His youngins. He's exhibiting His love. Whom He loveth, He chasteneth. That's what the Word of God said. He don't want us to faint. He don't want us to go back. The Bible said here, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. I believe these words, this text, is foreign to a lot of believers today. If it wasn't foreign, they wouldn't be living in sin thinking they can get by with it. If we really believe that God has a belt, if we really believe that God has a woodshed, how many believes He's got a woodshed? I had a man ask me not long ago. He said, do you think I'm being chastised? I said, you know whether you are or not. That ain't up to me. It don't matter what I think. That's between the child and his father. Bad things happen. That doesn't always mean it's chastisement. I'll tell you something right now. We're living under a curse. Say amen. This whole world, this whole creation's groaning to be delivered from the curse of sin. But I tell you, a believer, he knows whether what's going on in his life is just a result of the curse of sin or whether it's a result of the chastisement of his father. How many believes that tonight? There's no parent worth their salt would whoop a youngin' and that youngin' have no idea why they're getting a whooping. Ain't that right? You wouldn't whoop a youngin' and that youngin' have no idea why they're getting a whooping. You whoop a youngin' because you love them. Brother Mays used to say, his daddy would say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. He said, I used to think somebody's got their signals mixed up. I want to ask you something. If it hurt Brother Mays' daddy to whoop him, hurt my daddy to whoop me, how must it hurt the father, Brother Gary, when he has to get it out? Chasing his children. Not something he enjoys, but it's something that's necessary. Beloved, that's one of the things that's wrong with this generation. You get mad at me if you want to, but I said it's necessary. If you're going to raise children the Bible way, it's necessary. I remember one man said his mom thought that if you love them, then you chasten them. The Bible said betimes, and he said she thought that meant at bedtime. But anyway, he got it. Consider his chastening. Look what the Bible said up here in verse number 1. It said, when we think about those considering his children and his cross and his chastening, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Oh my. Somebody say those next words, which does so easily beset us. How many of y'all believe the Bible's right? It's right. So easily. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The writer here, most believe it's the Apostle Paul. He said us. He's not talking about a bunch of folk in a house of ill repute or a bunch of people sitting on a bar stool. He's talking about us, God's people, sitting in God's house tonight, worshiping God, spirit and in truth, that so easily beset us. And I tell you something tonight, I'll just say this for myself, not for you. You have to speak for you. But God only knows where I'd be tonight, what I'd be doing tonight, if it weren't for the chastening hand of God. I'm glad God in my life has said, come here, boy. You don't belong to yourself no more. You're not running the show anymore. You're mine. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. It's a blessing tonight. When you consider him. The Bible talked about enduring chastening. If we're not. If we're without chastisement. When it says whereof all are partakers. That doesn't mean all people. That means all of his children. In other words. I believe this firmly. My dad never did whoop anybody else's children. He did threaten one time to whoop somebody else's father. I got in a fight and the mother came up and I'm going to send my husband down here. She told my dad, We send my husband down here when he gets off from work, and Dad said, send him on down. I'll give him a dose of the same thing. He never did show up for some reason. But listen tonight. God loves us. He'll chasten us. I want to leave this with you tonight. We need to consider Him. Consider His children. Consider His cross. Consider His chastening. To give you one more thing. We need to consider the consequences of not considering Him. He said, preacher, what do you mean? How many members, Brother Mitchell, stand in this pulpit and he made this statement? He said, you better take care of sin. If you don't take care of sin, sin will take care of you. How many members him making that statement? You remember him making that statement? You said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look what the Bible said right here. It said, wherefore lift up hands which hang down, feeble knees, verse 12. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. Then in verse 16, here's somebody that did not consider the consequences of not considering Him. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know, we could look at Esau and say, well, he sold out cheap. I'm just going to make this statement tonight. There's people in this world sold out cheaper than that. We need to understand tonight that when people go through life without Calvary, without Christ, without chastisement, without considering God's people, there'll come a day when the consequences will stack up. Here's a man that wanted to repent and couldn't find a place. J. Harold Smith, years ago, he preached a message entitled God's Three Deadlines. I believe a man can be living and breathing and on his way to hell and nothing can be done about it. I believe you can step across that line. I do. The Bible said there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that you should pray for it. I believe tonight we need to consider the consequences of not considering Him. Brother Danny Sykes, he told me who told him this or who he heard say it, but I can't remember. He's the one that said it to me, and I do remember that. He said, Brother Vannoy, it's a profound statement. He said, we can choose our sin. He said, but we cannot choose the consequences of our sin. Think about that for just a minute. Amen. How many's come? Glad you come tonight. I appreciate you being here tonight. It's been good to be here. I appreciate you. I really do.